Today, we come to the end because we've arrived at the beginning. Probably need to explain that. We come today to the end of our series on pilgrimage. Because we've arrived at Pentecost Sunday, which marks the day, the events that enabled us to go on that pilgrimage and to make it all possible. We've been painting a picture for weeks now about our life as God's people, encouraging us to see this, the whole of this life that we have, as a journey with God, what we've called a pilgrimage. And I've been encouraging us to see the many different aspects of this as the whole of our experience of life that God invites us to bring into the focus as his pilgrim children. There is a really big issue in the church, in the whole of God's church, particularly in the West. And it's an issue that causes Christians to have a real problem of putting God in a box. They compartmentalize him. And this issue has been called the sacred secular divide. Basically, we see God's involvement in the sacred bits of life and in our sort of church involvement. And then we see the secular parts of life. And many, many Christians fail to put those things together. That's been what I've been trying to paint a picture of through this series on pilgrimage. Because God wants to know us, and he wants us to know him, not just in church services, or indeed even on Sundays, or in other sacred moments in our lives, but in the everyday situations. And that's what we've been looking at. So let me give you a bit of a recap and see how all this fits in then to Pentecost Sunday. We've been thinking about this journey that we have as being a journey, not so much like a physical journey through life, but a journey of the heart, where God impacts us and we, on our heart, our attitudes become more Christ-like. He changes us along this journey way. We've recognized that it is in, let's face it, the unwanted, unexpected twists and turns of life that God meets with us. After all, it's in those times of chaos that God teaches us. He molds us. We've recognized that it's not just in the big things, those great events in life, the conversion moments, etc., that we find God, but that we discover his presence in the ordinary conversations, in the everyday events, in the mundane situations throughout life and with ordinary people. We've seen that God impacts us on our journey with him when he restores us, when we've messed up, even when we've messed up badly. In that restoration process, we move on in our journey. And then we've seen that this pilgrim journey is a calling to step out and trust wherever that might take us. And then last week, we saw that if we're going to be successful in negotiating that pilgrim journey for God, it's important that we take those God-given moments, that Sabbath rest, that period of time, a day, wherever that is for you in the week, but for most of us, it will be Sunday, because it's easier to take that moment to bring things back into focus, to get our connection with God re-established, and to take perspective. Sounds quite a lot, doesn't it? That's the what life is really about, this whole journey. It sounds a bit daunting. Well, it sounds a bit tough and hard. And it would be, were it not for what we're going to think about today in the final instalment of this journey, which is where we see God's provision for us in the giving of the Holy Spirit to enable us to get through this pilgrim journey. Because in this, he's given us equipping to be about a job, to have a purpose, a role. He's equipping us for the mission that he's given to us. Because that's what a life is. It's a life with a purpose. It's what calling is. I don't know if you've spoken to people who feel that there is a calling on their lives, but what they're talking about is having a purpose. So, for example, someone who feels a calling on their life for nursing might say, I have this calling, and it's not a calling to be an SRN, state registered nurse, or whatever the equivalents are, or to join a particular union or work in a particular location. The calling is something bigger. It is to have a purpose which is underpinning all of that. And that purpose is to show compassion, to meet people's needs, to bring healing, to work amongst the most desperate. Teachers sometimes say they have a calling. For those of you who are parents, grandparents, especially those if you have an active involvement in children, you know how tough it can be. Well, imagine being with children all day through the week, for 30 children all yelling at you for 7 or 8 hours a day. It can be tough. But the calling is for someone who feels that they are, their life is about helping children to be taught, to be nurtured, to meet their needs and get them through what they're going through. Well, so it is with the calling of a Christian. We are called to be about God's work. And that calling is quite specific. And Jesus made that clear when he called the very first disciples. Do you remember when we looked at that just recently? When Jesus encountered for the first time the two sets of two brothers, Andrew and Peter and James and John, and they were fishermen. And they were out busy amongst doing their thing when Jesus met with them. And he called them and he says, come, follow me. I will make you fishers of men. And he gave that same calling to us in the Great Commission. Go into the world and make disciples. Our calling as God's people is not just to be called God people, to be join a union, join a church club. Our calling is to fulfill the purpose of God. I'm going to be thinking about that today. And that purpose is about speaking out the kingdom of God to people. It is about sharing our witness. It is about reflecting him. And purpose is important. Last week, when we were thinking about Sabbath, we recognized that the principle that God demonstrated was that in his work, which was creating the world, he took time out and he stopped and he looked back and he saw that it was good. And we recognize that when we take time out, when we have a Sunday where we stop, we put the world to one side, one of the things that we do is we look and we gain perspective for who we are, for who God is, for the work that he's given us. Wouldn't it be wonderful when we don't do that with any sense of dread, but we can look back on the week and say, yeah, I see where God was in that week and it was good. So our pilgrim walk is not aimless. It's not a haphazard journey. It's not even like a holiday where we try to plan certain things. It has a purpose, and it is God's kingdom purpose. It is sharing the life of God. And that sounds really tough until we recognize that God has equipped us for the mission. He provides the resources. And as I was thinking about this, my mind went to Philip in the New Testament. Do you remember? Right after the church had just been formed, the Holy Spirit had come at Pentecost. The church was enlivened and emboldened, and with it came persecution, and the church scattered. And many would look at that and say, oh, disaster. One, Jesus has gone. Two, everything's changed. Three, we're being persecuted. Four, the church is now scattered. But God was in all of that, and he was using it so that 2,000 years later, that church has grown to 2 billion people and is still impacting right across the globe, because God is the one doing the impacting. He's the one empowering. And right at the start of that process came Philip. And Philip was one of these people who, empowered by the Holy Spirit, was told to go to the road between Gaza and Jerusalem. And there on the road, he met the Ethiopian eunuch. And do you remember what he did as part of this process? What Philip did was he walked with the Ethiopian. He journeyed with him. He listened to what he was saying. Then he answered the question that was asked by the Ethiopian. And finally, he just met his need. He dealt with the one thing that he wanted to do then, which was be baptized. They found a pool of water and he baptized him. All quite simple things that he did. But the power behind it, the organization of it, was done by God. You might remember that that was the moment at which Philip, at the end of this encounter, disappeared suddenly and appeared in another town altogether, literally teleported. That was the work of the Holy Spirit, to put him in the right place, be with the right person, be the person that could answer the question. And then he took him somewhere else. God at work in this mission of God that we're all invited to be in. The effort, the planning, the power is God's. Our job is to just go. And we get a taste of this in the passage that Nigel read to us from Luke chapter 9, where Jesus first sends out his disciples. And this is relatively early on in the life of these disciples. And what does he do? He sends them out to walk in the roads of the region, visiting the villages, living simply, it's not complicated, and then telling out the work of God, speaking out the life of God, proclaiming the good news as they understood it. Now remember, this is early on in their life as disciples. How much do they know? We know that when Jesus was approaching Jerusalem and telling them where they were going, that they were confused. They didn't understand the bigger picture. How much could they say? But they had enough because of what happened with Jesus sending them. Come to that in a moment. But do you notice how simple the command was for them to go? The instructions. They weren't to pitch camp and set up a mission tent. They weren't building a conference center. There's no need to take a laptop or a PA system, no well-rehearsed choir to be about their business. They weren't even to take an offering bowl or food or a new set of clothes. They were just to tell people about the kingdom of God, to point to Jesus. To point to Jesus, the God of love. Isn't there a similar picture here to what we saw just a moment ago with Philip? To walk into the village, to meet people, hopefully listening, answering questions as they come up, as is appropriate, to speak out, to point to Jesus, meet the needs of the people. Their bit was simple. But that's not the only time Jesus was sent people out. In the next chapter, he does the same thing again. This time he sends 72 with the followers. And this time the ante's pushed up a bit because he tells them what this reality is. He says, go, I am sending you out like a lamb among wolves. See, if I was sending you on something, I wouldn't say that. I'd be a bit more gentle and subtle, but Jesus says it like it is. We'll come back to it in a moment. And that's not the only time he sends people out, because then comes the Great Commission. Matthew 28, after the resurrection, Jesus about to ascend into heaven, and Jesus sends out the remaining 11 disciples to do the same thing. But this time they are to go further, literally to the ends of the earth. And 2,000 years later, and 2 billion people later, that's what is happening. The church is spreading, though it's got further to go. So those are the occasions when Jesus has sent people out. But what is he thinking? What is he playing at with these people who don't know anything, who are confused? It seems madness. It seems impossible. It doesn't make sense. Until you notice the one thing that all of these three sending commissions have in common. Every single time Jesus sends out his disciples, he gives them power and authority. And on Pentecost Sunday, we remind ourselves, that we do not go into the world in our own strength. That would be foolhardy and futile. Instead, we go with the authority of Jesus. We speak in the name of Jesus. We witness in the name of Jesus, but we go in the power of the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that empowers the pilgrim to go on this journey that we have been thinking, this pilgrimage journey for God. Do you remember what Jesus said to his disciples? We read it last week as he was about to ascend into heaven. He said to them, do not leave Jerusalem. That's really specific. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. That's Acts chapter 1. They were told to wait until they're empowered to go in the Holy Spirit. I wonder how often God's people are disappointed because things they do in their own strength. They set off, they do their own thing without waiting for God to give the instruction. Now go. And I wonder how often they seek to do that, relying on their own resources and their own strength, and found they don't have the power to complete the task because it's not one which is empowered by God. Whether it is Philip speaking on a roadside to a passing dignitary, or the Apostle Paul, who was prevented from going into the town he'd planned to go into, or the Apostle Paul, who was entering Asia for the very first time on his missionary journey. Whether it's a missionary working amongst the Inuit Indians in the Arctic, or a missionary nurse working in a leprosy mission in the tropics of Africa, or whether it is us as a church working amongst the people of our region, walking the streets in the settings that we have in your neighborhood, in our communities, wherever it is the Holy Spirit that empowers us. It is God who should be telling us to go. It is God who puts people in the right place, who gives us the words when we are struggling to cope and when we don't feel like we are equipped and we have the resources and we turn to God. It is the Holy Spirit through whom God's mission is fulfilled, where we play our part. He's the source of power. We are the ones that go. The instruction, take nothing with you. What is that saying? It's saying remove all those comforts, those provisions that make us feel, oh, I can do this, and rely on God. It's the last thing that we as human beings would normally want to do, but that's the instruction, that's the principle. And the authority and the power is given by God through the Holy Spirit to teach, preach, heal, cast out demons, and perform miracles. The power of the Holy Spirit, not the power of any preacher, not the power of any apostle in our present day world, any evangelist, any minister. It is the power of God. Are we clear on who is empowering us? And why it is so important to seek the Lord and to go as he instructs us, to reach out to the people he brings to us. That's our calling. And you know, in the Bible, in the Old Testament, in the book of Joel, we read what Joel said about these end times, these last days that we live in. Do you realize these are the last days? We've been in them for 2,000 years, but these last days are what Joel spoke about, and he spoke about God's power at work and the Spirit of God and what he would do in these last days. Well, in Acts 2, at Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came, the words of Joel were once more declared, but then they were also realized. People saw it happening. Let me read it to you from Acts 2. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Do you notice who's engaged with the Holy Spirit? All of God's people. The old will dream dreams, the young having visions, men and women, old, young, God's Spirit poured out on his people, and the objective, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. God's Spirit is poured into us so that we can be effective witnesses. Well, we live in these final days. And my message to you today is really simple. It is to remind us of God's provision. This is not new theology. I don't want to give you new theology that you can hook onto and get excited about. Sometimes we collect these things like people collect stamps. And we build up our record of theology, and great, so what? You end up like a stamp album. Well, like stamps, our theology is to be applied. It is to be put into practice. That's why we've been looking at this whole aspect of pilgrimage. And I believe that God would challenge his church to recognize the life ahead of us, which is a life of pilgrimage, but which is to, for us, is to be effective because of the power of the Holy Spirit that we invite to be part of this. That's my simple message for us today. Jesus promised the Spirit of God would come, and amongst the things would be a permanent guide, a teacher, a seal of approval, of salvation, sorry, a comforter to all believers. Read in John chapter 14, you read all about that. All powerful, wonderful, personal blessings to us as God's people. But we're talking in the context of pilgrimage, a mission with a purpose, which is to reach out to others. And it's in that context that Jesus spoke about the promise of the Holy Spirit coming in power. Let me read to you verse 8 of Acts chapter 1. This is what he said to his disciples, who was inviting to go and preach the gospel throughout the world. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the world. The Holy Spirit comes that we can be witnesses. Do you realize that the salvation of souls is a supernatural work that is only made possible by God? It is the Holy Spirit's power at work. No preacher, no evangelist has ever been able to convert the heart of a human being. That's the work of the Holy Spirit, that work of conviction. What we do is we offer ourselves to go on the journey. And we invite the Holy Spirit to lead us into those opportunities. I wonder if it's time for us to simplify our understanding of our purpose. To simply go. And for us as a church, God has been speaking loud and clear for years now to go where we are, with the people around us, to trust that he will bring to us people into whose lives we can bring a message of hope and blessing, to point to Jesus, to be the priest that God has made us to be, to testify, to be witnesses. It's really that simple. Today, where I am, with whoever I'm going to meet. So at the end of our study on pilgrimage, that's what it boils down to. That's pilgrimage. It's life, the whole of life, all of our time, all of those conversations and people. The difference? Inviting God and the Holy Spirit into those and inviting us to then be incredible witnesses for God in all of those situations. And the power for that started on Pentecost Sunday, the birthday of the church, the beginning of the church being an entity, a powerful messenger for God. Columbanus was a 6th century minister for God, who obeyed faithfully Jesus' commission. And he was someone who established little communities, monasteries throughout Europe. And he once wrote a really powerful reflection on the way of the pilgrim road through life. And with this, I want to end our whole reflection on life as a pilgrim. This is what he said. What are you, human life? You are the road to life, not life itself. You are to be traversed, but not inhabited. For no one dwells on a road, but travels it, so that those who walk upon the road may dwell in their homeland. Our goal as God's people is to walk this road that God lays out, to see wherever it goes, whatever life throws at us, to see that God is there with us in it, to seek his guidance for the next steps, but to live it, not to pitch camp and make our little base here and then set up and wait to die, but to live, all of us, young, old, men, women, in life as God's witnesses, empowered by the Holy Spirit. That's quite a brief, but what a blessing. I want to pray for us. I want to pray for you this morning. And this is a prayer. Some of you wanted it. You could use this on a daily basis as a prayer. Just sort of start your day off. If that's the case, I could send it by email, maybe along with that little transcript from Columbanus, and I can send that to each of you by email. Let me pray as we invite God's Holy Spirit to come and lead us today. Heavenly Father, today, would you reveal your presence and power in us? Lord, fill each of us with your Holy Spirit. Lead us to where and whom we can be your witnesses. Show us those to whom I can bring blessing today. Those that I can walk alongside. Those I can listen to, those I can share your love to, those whose needs we can meet in Jesus. Lord, today, in the power of the Holy Spirit, I set my feet on the pilgrim's way. I acknowledge its ordinariness. I choose to seek your face in the people I meet. Accepting its pace, I choose to welcome the frustrations as invitations to grace and learning. But I fix my eyes on you, the one who beckons me home. Father, I pray this for each of us gathered this morning, for each of your people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.